Well, around 100 Polytech leaders have been in crisis talks today in a meeting to discuss how to rescue the sector. It follows the release of a cabinet paper showing 80% of the country's 16 Polytechs will be in debt within 4 years. Sandra Gray is the president of the Tertiary Education Union, and she is with me. And good evening, and thank you, Sandra, for talking.
Good afternoon.
So let's start with the wider picture here. These 16 polytechnics are in significant trouble. Give us some context around this. What's going on?
Well, really what we've seen over the last decade is an underfunding of the tertiary education sector, and in particular, provision in our polytechnics, our ITPs. And that's really what the crisis is that we've had a funding model that has not delivered for our communities, for our students, or for our employers, actually, in regional and rural New Zealand particularly, but more broadly. So, you know, the forum we had planned today was never going to be about the crisis, but certainly the events of the last few days have highlighted just how under strain the sector is.
Right. So what's the outcome then of that meeting?
Well, one of the outcomes has been that the Minister has been with us in the morning and has talked to us about the fact that he recognises we need to find a better way of doing things. The challenge, of course, always is what do you do? Because this requires New Zealanders to get behind and talk about what they want out of their education and training system. You know, what do they actually need? Not just employers, but communities, family members. So this is a really difficult question. I guess the thing for us is today we've had representatives from staff, students, employers, and from the CEs of the sector all in one room. And we've actually had some really, really hard conversations that we're going to have to keep having to find a solution very quickly.
And he wants to dump the competitive model. So what is wrong with the competitive funding model?
Well, the competitive funding model in education just meant a lot of wasted resources, because actually what you saw was bidding and lots of paperwork behind the scenes and lots of sales pitches. But actually it hasn't delivered for communities and it hasn't delivered for learners. And, you know, the government agencies who are involved have recognised that, the staff and students recognise that, and the CEs recognise that. So, you know, that for us is a really, really good signal that we're going to back to saying, as a community, what do we want out of our sector? What should we be putting our taxpayer dollars into?
Okay, but we've got falling enrolment numbers, haven't we? I think 5,000 students lost last year. Are the students not seeing polytechnics as a viable study option?
I think that polytechnics do struggle a bit with their image. People, you know, quite rightly are aspirational for their kids, and for some reason believe that, you know, being aspirational means, you know, going out there and possibly, you know, going to university, which for many people is a good option. But for many others, actually, studying at their local polytechnic, getting a qualification, getting some skills and knowledge in their own community means they'll stay in that community, they'll deliver for that community, and they'll be engaged in that community.
Okay, so now the funding will be what, based on student numbers, student enrolments? Is that how it's going to work?
The funding will go back to being based on what's called investment plans. So the government will sit down with the CEs and sit down with the communities and say, okay, what is needed in this community? What will we provide for? So it's actually a very managed and planned system with all of us having a say in where it goes.
Yeah, but that encourages polytechnics, doesn't it, just to get more numbers, because a lot of it's free now, isn't it? I mean, what accountability is there? How do we know this is just not going to provide useless courses?
There's huge accountability in our system, and, you know, we actually have a whole lot of measures to catch out if we're not delivering the right things, we're not delivering the right number of hours. So the system is built to make sure that we safeguard the expenditure, the money that the New Zealanders put in, and, you know, we as staff are really committed to making sure that everybody gets the best out of it, because that is actually why we're in the system.
Only yesterday, the government announced a $33 million bailout of Taipatuni Polytechnic on the West Coast. What happened there? Was that because it wasn't run well or because it wasn't getting enough funding?
It's a mix of both, but certainly it is different from the other ones in the sector, because there was a significant level of behaviour where they were not delivering the hours they had agreed to deliver and were receiving funds for. So that case, there is some issues around both the council's risk management, but also some of the previous senior managers in that space around what they did. So, you know, there is a problem in that space, but that's not the case across the sector. The good thing is the auditing and accountability mechanisms of the sector picked it up. So, you know, we're really pleased.
Yeah, after 33 million down the tubes. But anyway, so what about international students? So I would assume that they would be an important revenue stream for our polytechnics. There's less of them now coming, and there will be a lot less if the government has its way. What do you see in that?
Well, we have spoken with Labor about the fact that we don't want students caught up in some of the changes around immigration. You know, there's good reason to have international students here and to actually contribute to, you know, global knowledge and skills development. So that's really important. But I do think that it is also really important that we don't make sure, or we make sure that our New Zealand system is funded enough to be stable, to be absolutely stable without international student fees, because it's a market that fluctuates wildly. And we could drive our own system under if we relied on international markets.
Sandra, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it. That is Sandra Gray, President of the Tertiary Education Union. It is now 4:16.